Welcome to the We Collide podcast. We're a growing community of everyday chicks colliding with Jesus in our mess, our pain, our joy, and our stories. We value showing up as we truly are, so that's what you'll find here. Walls and masks being torn down so that we can allow Jesus to meet us where we truly are and hear about other women doing the same. We can't wait to collide with you.
It's really easy to feel angry and then look at your phone because you think you're numbing out. Or, I had a really rough day, I'm just gonna binge on Netflix. And it's not that it's bad, but when that's our source, or when we think about emotional eating, I mean, emotional eating in the title itself, it says emotion. And so it's just going to the root of that and understanding that you don't have to carry all these suitcases around all the time. You don't have to put things in cubby holes. He doesn't want you just to store things away. He wants you to bring it to light, because the more that you bring it to light, truth can be brought to it.
Hey guys, welcome to the We Collide podcast. I'm Willa Weston, the founder and director of Collide, and I'm so glad that you hopped on today. I'm interviewing Jessica Hoddle, and Jessica is a successful online entrepreneur and an author of two best-selling books. One called Know Your Worth, another one called A Worthy Wife. And she's also written a third book called Own Your Worth. And she inspires and encourages thousands by sharing her own personal struggles, victories, and journey through life. She's wife to a husband and a mom to three cats. And I'm just excited about the conversation that we get to have today. So glad that you guys are hopping on to take part with us. So Jessica, welcome to the We Collide podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, totally. So you're an author, a podcaster, a fitness coach, and a speaker. Can you kind of let us in on your story and how you got into doing all of that work?
Yeah, I think, well, one definitely bled into the other. You know how that goes. But to really look at my story, it came from a lot of pain, a lot of not knowing who I was. And as I began to discover those things about my identity in Christ and really what that meant to walk it out and not just visit that place starts back from my childhood, coming from a very broken home and not really understanding or knowing what love was. And so with that, I easily gave myself and my body to men at a very young age, just searching for love, you know, in all the wrong places. And that led me to starting my fitness business at the age of roughly 20, 21, 22. And I still have that fitness business today. But at that time, it went from my worth in my work to my worth in my weight. And so I started to cling to the way that I looked, what my muscles looked like, the fear of gaining weight, because just, you know, you hear so many things growing up, just wait till you get older and you get childbearing hips. And this just, all this fear consumed me. And then it really went into just discovering who God was, because I didn't know him until I was roughly 22 as well. And so I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't have a foundation. I had whatever was being taught to me through the people that I was around and who I was allowed to be around. And that really bled into to where I am today, which is growing in who I am. And then, you know, coming out of my healing journey of understanding what was really happening during that time in my healing, and then meeting my husband and just really being able to heal fully. And so I think that's why I've been through so many different things in my life in different areas, whether it's fitness, work, relationships, ministry, you know, health journey, like all of that I've been able to speak into. And so they kind of just bleed into one or the other, but writing came first.
So it's interesting. You obviously talk a lot about worth. In fact, all your book titles I've noticed include the word worth. And I can hear a little bit from just you sharing that small tidbit about your story, where that passion comes from. It sounds like you were kind of trading your worth, which I see women do a lot. You kind of talked about moving from finding your worth in your work to finding your worth in your weight. How are you seeing us do that? It feels like a lot of times women are moving from finding our worth in one unhealthy place to trying to make a move out of that unhealthy place, but then we're finding our worth in another unhealthy place.
Yeah. We do that a lot, right? We skip, you know, you'll see one person maybe stop smoking and, but then they'll start overeating. You know, like you said, it's just,
right.
It really comes down to understanding the root, and typically the root will direct you to the area that God needs to tend to the most. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was receiving and really walking out his love for me. Not trying to prove my love to him, you know, how we do, oh, I'm doing all these things for God. And it's really, no, I need to receive the revelation of that love that God has for me. Because really, when we look at all of these things about dealing with people pleasing, guilt, obligation, you know, idolizing our body, it really comes down to the identity issue. Mm-hmm. Who we think we need to be, what we think we need to do in order to achieve something. And that is why I just get so passionate about that, because of the things that I've been through and how I've been tossed to and fro, up and down so much. And now I'm finally standing ground of, no, I'm not going to let what I feel become who I am, which is really like the message of the culture is like, you are what you feel. Well, that's totally not true, you know, and feelings are fleeting. And so really helping women understand that they aren't what they feel and to process the truth and the lies with that.
There's so much to unpack here, Jessica. I'm like, where do I even start? I'm going to start with this because this is all such good stuff. How do you see women chasing for worth from places that seem to leave us feeling even more unworthy?
I think that when we chase from emptiness, and that's something that's really huge, is we often pour out. And so we no longer know what, we're no longer connected to what we feel or what we think. We're hoping and reaching for anything to make us feel again. And so we tend to reach out of emptiness, meaning, like I just said, of that pouring out, you do everything for everybody else. And sometimes we kind of hold that on a pedestal. Like, I did all this for everybody. And why isn't anybody doing this for me? You know, I hear that. And it's that pouring out without getting poured into. And I think that that's where a lot of the chasing comes from. That's where a lot of the idolizing comes from. And also, we tend to take God's word only if we see it. You know, we don't look at his promises from a spiritual side. We look at it from a physical side. And so when scripture tells us to not be ruled by our sight, but to walk in faith, it's so important. And a lot of people will go, I will only believe you, God, if I can see it. Mm-hmm. And that's another way that it's really easy to shift into idling other things, because when we think about Moses going up on the mountain, he's like, hey guys, I'm coming back. And what do they do instantly? They build a golden calf. It's that whole unknown space. And we have to kind of go back to our identity into that.
Mm-hmm. I always hear that story and I'm like, why a calf? I mean, couldn't they have made cute hearts or something? So you talk about moving from finding your worth in your work, which I think a lot of people can resonate with, to then getting involved in the fitness world and finding your worth in your weight. How did you come out of finding your worth in those two places to finding your worth in God? I mean, it sounds really like lovely, right? But like on a really practical level, what did that journey look like to move from finding your worth in things that are constantly changing to finding your worth in purely what God says about you?
And to really go with what you just said is that understanding for me was worth wasn't a feeling that I was chasing. It's that place of rest. It's the identity in a person, like you said, of knowing what his word says about me, but I don't have to prove it to anybody else. And when it was actually things had to happen to me. before I even realized that it was an issue to an extent. For example, I remember coming up, I was at the gym, and I remember coming up from a back squat, and my hips just kind of gave out. And I remember going back to the room with my trainer, and he's like, can you sit? Can you stand? Like, where does it hurt? And needless to say, by the time I went to the emergency room, came home, I could barely walk. And I was lifting pretty heavy at this time, and so I had a lot of muscle. And the only thing I could think about was, what are people going to think of me? You know, I have a fitness business. Like, I had put so much of who I was and how I looked that I was more worried about would people love me now if I didn't have muscle? You know, it's like this moment happened and you're in this pain and it's like the enemy just came for me. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, nobody's going to love you like this. Because as if they just love me for my body. And so that moment was so pivotal to me because I can remember feeling alone. I can remember because I wasn't at the gym and I wasn't doing all the things that I had been doing. And would I be a phony? And that was a very pivotal moment for me. So it wasn't all rainbows and sunshine at all for me. Is that moment had to happen for me to realize, you know, in my own messiness, that it got my attention and awareness to something bigger that was going on. And so then I began to do the same thing that I was doing before. So I didn't have this moment of like epiphany of change. I knew that that feeling was true, but I didn't go and like work on it. And then my spiritual father came into practice, into play, I guess I should say. And we worked very closely together for 5 years. And so I always tell people, like, have somebody that you can be real with and honest with that points you to truth without validating what you feel. Mm-hmm. And he never validated what I felt, you know, in a sense of always encouraging me to go and think bigger and into truth of who God called me to be. But I actually had to begin to understand where the pain came from. You know, why did I so desperately want somebody's attention? Why couldn't I just be content by myself and in my house or working out at the gym, no matter what my body looked like or what kind of work I was doing? I wanted the accolades. I wanted people to say, good job, Jess. And
were you able to get to the root of that? What was that for you?
And that really just stemmed from my, like, just so many years of, you know, probably before I was born, you know, my mom and my dad and their relationship, because your body remembers and keeps the score. And so I was born into a very trauma-based house. You know, my dad was physically abusive to my mom, and I saw it all the time. You know, him strangling her or pushing her or her being on the ground, or, you know, then my mom would in turn hurt us and say things and manipulate us. And so a lot of that came from, I kind of had to be the adult and grow up really fast and take care of myself and pay for my lunches at school after a certain age and after I got my job, my first job. And so this need to be seen, to be known, and to be valued came from a place of my past that I was never really seen, I was never really valued, and I never felt known.
Right. So you were chasing it and trying to find it in ways that actually left you even more unworthy. Right. I mean, it's super interesting to listen to you talk, because I think when you talk about that moment where you were injured, and that really was this moment of loss for you, right? Because you were a fitness instructor and super active in the fitness world. And sometimes it feels like loss can be a gift to kind of invite us into becoming more self-aware, where we have to recognize, wow, I have my worth wrapped up in this because it's hitting me so hard that clearly I do.
Yeah. And like I said, it wasn't this instant change for me. So I had to really begin to walk out the pain. And that was hard because I didn't want to forgive, because I thought if I forgave, then that would make everything okay. Meaning what they did, what was said, all the things they experienced was just, oh, it's like brushed under the rug. And it was hard for me. And then it came in another layer of understanding how everyone's made in God's image. And so my mom and my dad were made in God's image. Regardless of what I feel or my flesh wants to do, they were still made in God's image. Doesn't make everything okay, but I started to get this lens, this different lens, and I began to understand that some of their history, their pain, their experiences, and as I began to understand the word and just how much those things affect us. When we hold on to anger, when we're insecure, when we're putting who we are in all the other things and we start to have idols in our life, just how fleeting that is, but also how it affects every other area of our life, how we communicate to people, how we interact, like all of that goes into it. And it was these layers for me of, I don't want to forgive, to, okay, I can forgive. I can start to see them as God sees them, to, okay, they must have been in a lot of pain themselves or dealing with a lot of stuff. They loved me the best that they could of understanding love. And so it's really this, as I matured in Christ, I was able to mature in my pain and in my circumstances to be able to walk mm-hmm. through them and not around them. So I was able to actually sit with them.
Mm. That's so beautiful and so interesting that when we can have the perspective of Christ, when we look at the people who've wounded us, it actually brings our lives healing.
Mm. Yes. That was definitely hard work.
That's sorry. Really hard work. Yeah. The work that you did. I mean, God was inviting you into a major spiritual project.
Yes. And I think he's inviting us all, but we're just so busy, right? It's just that title mm-hmm. we've given ourselves. And the reality is in the season, you might really have a lot of things going on, but the invitation's always there for healing. If he's the healer, right? And so he doesn't want you to just manage your pain. He wants to take it away. And especially to help you walk through it. And so it's just this being able to slow down long enough to experience what you're feeling, because our bodies are communicators. And oftentimes I'll hear from women that my body is against me. It doesn't like me. It hates me and all of these things. And we can't change what we hate. So if we keep hating on it, it's not going to change. Mm. And so I just kind of begin to help women have this different view of that, which I just think is so important.
Mm, I love that. You talk a lot about disassociation and numbing out. And I bring that up because you just talked about how we often want to, you know, run from our pain, run from our feelings. Tell me a little bit about why disassociation and numbing out can be dangerous for us.
Well, what I've learned is that if I think of it like this, the Lord gave me kind of an analogy this one time, is like we're all carrying around suitcases. And the more that you ignore one symptom or one traumatic event that you've experienced, that another piece of thing, clothing goes into that suitcase and another memory and then another experience. And by the time we know it, we feel so weighed down, so heavy, so overwhelmed, which creates anxious thoughts, which creates depression, which creates all these things because we're carrying so much weight around that we don't know. But we have all these suitcases with all these memories, thoughts, feelings, and emotions that we just bundled up, tucked away, and hope they never resurface. And for me, I don't want to live in a constant state of tension, worry, fear, because I've been there. And I was there for many, many years of just survival mode. You know, striving to make the results instead of realizing that God is my provider and wanting things to happen and avoiding confrontation because I was afraid that something was going to happen to me because that's just what I knew. And I feel like if we don't address the things, then we're not really allowing God into our hearts fully, because if we were, then there would be so much more freedom. Like chains breaking, like all kinds of freedom that we have mm-hmm. in Christ when it comes to emotions and the things that we deal with. And when it comes to numbing out, is that when we've experienced so many things, is that your body actually just stays in fight or flight the entire time. And as I did more research, I actually realized that when my body had kind of crashed, is that when I had got married is when I started to kind of have symptoms of not feeling well. And then maybe a year into it, I really crashed, meaning passing out on an airplane, having all kinds of just spots all over, like just fatigue, everything you could imagine to everything I experienced it. And when I was doing some research, I realized that when your body's in a constant state of fight or flight, it has no time to deal with your current state of emotions. And so it's always protecting you. So your body is always for you. And when I had, when my body realized that it was safe and secure in a good spot, it was when then it was able to process. It was then that it was able to actually process. And I knew in my mind one thing, but my body kept trying to tell me another. And so they finally had to communicate together. And so that is really just, it's really easy to feel angry and then look at your phone because you think you're numbing out. Or I had a really rough day. I'm just going to binge on Netflix. And it's not that it's bad, but when that's our source, or when we think about emotional eating, I mean, emotional eating in the title itself, it says emotion. And so it's just going to the root of that and understanding that you don't have to carry all these suitcases around all the time. You don't have to put things in cubby holes. He doesn't want you just to store things away. He wants you to bring it to light, because the more you bring it to light, truth can be brought to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're completely speaking like our Collide love language over here. We're, I mean, the way the whole, our whole story got started was out of my pain being in a counseling office, dealing with my childhood pain. And, you know, one of the interesting things we talk a lot about is that we teach sort of like a holistic theology, meaning often in Christian circles, we sort of emphasize as long as someone just believes all the right things with their mind, they're good to go. And we don't invite them into a healing journey. But God actually cares about our whole selves. He cares about our bodies, cares about our anxiety, cares about our relationships. He cares about what we believe. He cares about what we do with our body. He cares about our friendships, right? He cares about all of it and wants to bring healing into all of it. And the whole idea of Collide is like when you see Jesus in the New Testament, he collides with someone who's wounded. He brings about healing. Every collision that he has with people, they're left different. And I think as I hear you talk, it's so much what we're about, but this idea that if you carry that suitcase around with you for the next, if you were still carrying that suitcase, Jessica, and you hadn't said yes to God's invitation to do the hard work of allowing God to get in there and bring about healing, you'd have even more in that suitcase that you'd be carrying around.
Oh, absolutely. And I learned that trauma affects long-term. You can have chronic illness just based on trauma. And that is what my body had experienced when it crashed after it figured out, hey, we're good here. We're safe. Now we can deal with things, you know? And that was huge for me in that study of realizing my body is just trying to take care of me. And I love that, you know, like you said, when Jesus encountered people and collided with them, he always brought healing of some kind, physical, soul, heart, whatever it was always healing. And that it's so good.
You know, I love how much you talk about worth. What do you see as the enemies of our worth? What are the things that are trying to steal our worth on a daily basis?
To me, it always goes back to one, how we view God to be. If we view him as our earthly father, or if we view him as our heavenly father. Because if we're made in his image, then we look like our daddy, right? We get to become our father in the sense of character and things like that. And so one of the things is being a daughter to the king and what that looks like and the attacks that you're going to get. And the most important thing is that when you have a view of God that doesn't match his word, that directly impacts who you are. And that is one of the easiest ways that the enemy comes for us, is because he's constantly trying to get you to question God's love for you. Does God really love you? Why would he do this? And so I always tell people that it's your love for God on trial, not God's love for you. And that really just goes back, you know, to the garden and the questioning. And we can see that throughout scripture of just the enemy trying to work in people and get them distracted long enough to destroy
them. Yeah, it's interesting because you actually brought up this memory. I was speaking at a retreat once and we went and I was in a small group praying over women. And this woman started saying, well, before we went into prayer, she said, well, I'm a daughter of a pedophile. And it was so interesting. And I said, oh no, you are a daughter of the King. Like she's identifying with her wounds, almost as if she's allowed her wounds to identify her and say, I'm a daughter of a pedophile. And I think the whole idea that you're talking about is like allowing God to rename us, right? That we don't let the sin and the shame and the past and the wounds call us by name, but instead we allow a God to do that. I love that you are doing this work of inviting women to begin to see their worth and find their identity in Christ. How much do you see the comparison game playing into rating our worth?
I think it's I want to say one of the biggest, but it is really up there, especially with social media. Mm-hmm. You know, we have all but put all who we are in a social media status, you know. Oh, how many followers does she have? Or what is she doing? And when you see other people getting what you pray for, that just causes a ruckus. And there's so many things that, you know, the enemy comes for us in comparison. And comparison really comes down to greed because we look at somebody else, what they have, and think, well, I should have that. And that really does come down to greed, right? When we think about it on a deeper level, is that if they have it, I should have it. And they have it. Why don't I have it yet? Assuming that we're better than them or they're of lesser of a value or greater of value than you are. And so I think that the enemy really comes in comparison in that sense of always assuming that you lack something. You know, and scripture tells us that we lack no good thing. But with comparison, it's always we're lacking something. And so we have to work to prove that we don't lack anything. What do you think?
Well, I'm just listening to you. I mean, it's so interesting. Before we started recording on this, you and I were talking about kind of surfing social media. That's how, you know, you came across Clyde and now we're having this conversation. But, you know, when you are surfing, it's absolutely true. I love how you're putting it. Like, you lack no good thing. That's a really good mantra for all of you guys listening. I'm taking that on as my mantra. Like, you know, it gets as silly as like their labradoodle's cuter than mine, but really, like, it's about bigger things than that, right? Yeah. It's about, wow, their husband does really romantic things for them. I don't remember the last time my husband did romantic things for me. What does that mean about me? Right. It gets like deeper into those things. And how do you advise the women that you're working with on fighting that battle of like still being engaged online, yet facing the temptation to buy into all the lies?
That's good. So I did a podcast on this call on my podcast, What's the Truth, called I Need to Be Better Than Her. And so it's this lie that I addressed, and three prompts that I gave them was to combat this need to compare and coming from a place of lack is to really just kind of punch the enemy in his face and do the opposite of what you feel like doing. So most of the time when we land in comparison, we don't want to like their photo. We don't want to congratulate them. We don't want to call them up and say, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you, you know? And I'm not saying to be fake. I'm just saying we can come from a place of love and be genuine, even if we have that emotion of feeling sad, you know? And so the first thing is to pray for her and to really say, bless her, bless her ministry, whatever it is that you're comparing her with. And it's actually happened in my real life where one of my dear friends, she has a bigger ministry and it's a community and everything's online. And I remember the Lord was like, you need to go and apologize to her. And I just remember going up to her and looking her in the face. And she's like, I am so sorry that I have been comparing my life to yours. And she had no idea necessarily, but we were kind of close enough where I just could go up to her and just be like, I confessed kind of that sin in my heart to her and kind of walked it out. And of course, she like just spoke life into me. And when I shared that with somebody else, another like testimony came in and she was like, hey, I just want you to know like that testimony of you sharing that, now I want to confess to you. And so I had somebody confess to me that they were comparing myself and I got to speak into them. And so that the first one is definitely pray. And the second one is partner with her, do a collaboration with her, you know, whatever that looks like, but partner with her in something. And that just shows that you're not in competition because there's no lack in the kingdom. He's not worried about supplies. He's not worried about money. He's not worried about all those things. He's just asking, will you trust me? And the third thing is to promote her. How can you share her stuff? How can you call her out? Call her out, meaning raising her up. How can you do those things? Because there's a lot of different calling outs. But
yeah, you're right. You know, yeah.
I just think, you know, I love alliteration. So pray, promote, or partner is just a great way to think about it. And a great way to not think about comparison, because in the end, when I talk with women, they tell, like, no matter how, you know, I'm in a community right now, a training with Allie Worthington, and she talks all the time about her insecurity about going on stage and how she doesn't even like to watch herself speaking. She doesn't like any of that because she just picks herself apart. And I'm thinking, if a woman that is well-versed in speaking, has been on many stages, has this fear of watching herself, criticizes herself too much, and all those things that she's still working through, I think it's okay that I can work through these things too. And to know that other women are walking through these things too, and that the enemy is coming for them just as much as they're coming for you.
Mm. I love those three P's. That's good. People need to check out that podcast, Jessica. I am thinking about, I used to do college ministry forever, right? So I'd sit up on campus and have coffee with young women. And I remember having this experience where these two separate women are telling me about their struggle with their roommate, which is each other, but they don't know they're each meeting me for coffee, right? Sharing this. And one was feeling, desperately ugly and hated her body and was extremely envious and jealous of her roommate, who was really thin, and she always felt fat in comparison to her and wanted to look like her and just struggling with major envy and comparison, right? And then I'd have coffee the next week with the other roommate, and she would bring up her struggles, not about her roommate, but she actually admitted to me before she had told her boyfriend, her family members, anyone in her life, that she'd had an eating disorder for 6 years and she'd been puking after every meal. And it was a really interesting thing for me to see that we have no idea when we're comparing ourselves to other people, when we're envying other people, what we're envying. Right? Because you have one girl who doesn't even realize what she's envying is an eating disorder, but she's self-debasing and putting herself down. And so we can get so far down bunny trails, wishing we could be like someone else, not realizing that we're wishing we had a sickness or wishing that we were in an unhealthy place. And I just love your three P's. That's good for us to call each other up, for us to applaud each other, to make room for more women to tap into their full potential and just say, hey, we can all do this and we are better together. I just love that. That's so good.
Yeah. We both win. Hey, all of us win.
Yeah, totally. You do a lot of work around helping women replace the lies they believe with truth. And in fact, you just kind of invited us into some truth there on the topic of comparison. What are some of the top lies you've noticed women believe, and what are some of the most helpful tools you've found to combat those lies?
I think one of the most popular ones is I'm not qualified. I'm not worthy. You know, those are probably the top two, I think, that come for us the most. Now, if you're a mom, I'm a bad mom. You know, I'm not a mom, but I've had a mom on the guest, you know, as a podcast, and just talking to so many other moms, like the mom guilt comes for them a lot. But speaking on I'm not qualified, the tools that we really need is to understand. And it's the go-to answer. It has to be, is the word. Because we're not opening our Bibles to find out who we are. We're hoping that social media or somebody else tells us who we are. And we're hoping that it fits this ideal that we have and that it goes along with what we feel. And so in order to combat a lie, we need to know the truth and not an opinion, not like, oh, my husband thinks I'm beautiful. No, it's that deeper rooted foundation that you know where you're going, what he's called you to, and the things that he already has said about you and that you stand on. What I say promises a lot because his word is promises filled with them. And so that is what we get to hold on to. You know, when it talks about, you know, when people say, I'm not qualified, you're basically saying, like, you're questioning God. And it goes, I always think of Moses, of course. He threw so many things at God, and he's finally, and you know, God was finally like, okay, take Moses or take Aaron and just go, you know? And we do that though, but we're questioning if, like, God's ability to call us. You know, we're putting ourselves into the equation and trying to give God an idea of basically like, hey, I don't think you did this right. I mean, how weird does that sound? You know, when we say things like, when we say that out loud, it's like, oh, that sounds really weird that I'm questioning God of what he's really called me to do. But we do that all the time. And so lies lead to destruction and truth brings restoration. And so we can only know lies based on the fruit, and we only know truth based on the fruit. Scripture tells us we will know a tree by its fruit, and a seed can only reproduce after its own kind. And so you can't think an angry thought and then that produce joy. You know, anger will produce more anger or more of something of that kind. You know, it's not going to produce joy. And so it's important that we understand that from a spiritual level and knowing, okay, what I'm thinking about, what is this leading me down? Because your body will respond as well. And so if you're thinking about a lie, you could start to think of all these things that I'm not worthy, I'm not qualified, I'm not good enough, and start to feel defeated. And you might even realize that you might want to just like shut down from work and go home, and you start thinking, what's the point? Why am I doing this? Nobody cares, you know? And you start to validate yourself. You're like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, we can talk ourselves into anything. And so it's just that what fruit is this thought bearing? And that is going to tell me what I'm partnering with. And that's really been the biggest tool that I can help women with, is for them to understand first the fruit it's producing, because then we can begin to bring the truth of God's word to it as they begin to heal in layers, of course, you know, because that's just going to come in layers, just like the onion.
Right. I'm such a big fan of these kinds of reflection questions and just like pausing for a minute and allowing people to hear that question again. When we're thinking negative thoughts about how we're not qualified, we're not worthy, we're bad moms, all your examples, asking ourselves, what fruit will this belief about myself bear? That's a powerful question for us to ask ourselves. What fruit will this belief bear? I love that so much. You have walked this journey. It's not a journey that ends when you're wrestling over your worth. It's one that you continue to walk and fight to find your worth in God. I know that to be true. I love how in the beginning of our conversation, you talked about finding your identity and walking it out versus just kind of visiting that place. You've been pretty successful in your endeavors. How are you keeping your successes and your failures from defining your worth? Because I think a lot of times we have these lies, these negative statements that we say to ourselves and kind of start to find our worth in that. And we can battle that, but we can also start to find our worth in our successes. How are you fighting that battle with your own success?
So recently, it's a great question. And I want to say this has not been an easy road for me, because applause really like feeds my flesh, right? When somebody says I did a good job or somebody liked my post, like that really, you know, gets me fired up. But what I learned quickly is that if I rise to their applause, then I'll die at their silence. And so I'm constantly asking the Lord, please show me the issues in my heart that when somebody disagrees, like I want people to disagree with me so I can build that muscle. You know, some people just have the grace for it, not me. Like I'm someone that has to actually consciously work through that process of their words and opinions do not define me. And recently, I was at a conference and a speaker said, you're not called to be successful. You're called to be faithful. And so that was really important to me because I had strived so hard and long to prove so much and to make the money and to do all the right things. And now after experiencing a lot of no's in the past 6 or 7 months and kind of getting, I don't like to say rejection, but this silence, you know, you're planting all these seeds, but you're not seeing a result. You know what I mean? That has really changed my heart because it has allowed me to mature in who I am in God without seeing a result. You know, and so I've been able to stand on truth, stand on the promise, the promiser, more than the reward. And that is really what has lately been keeping me steady. I was just reading in Isaiah, and he's talking about Israel, but he is talking about how God will keep, like, I will keep you steady. I will keep you strong. And I was like, all I could think about was, you know, when you're going on this fine line or you're feeling weary and you just kind of want to collapse, it's that, like, I'm going to keep you steady. Like, I'm not going to let you fall. We might need to pivot. We might need to do some things, but I'm going to keep you steady and I'm going to keep you focused. And it's not about being perfect, but I can stay steady. And my theme for the past 2 years is just slow and steady, Jess. Like, you don't have to come out of the gates like killing it. Just show up, be steady, be consistent, and over time that compounds, you know? And so that has been just a few things that keeps me just steady, and this maturity in Christ alone that really comes with, because patience is all throughout scripture and what that looks like and how we get to live that out.
Yeah, it's so crazy because so often we are defining our worth based on our failures, and then we realize we're doing it. And so we kind of come before God and, you know, go, oh, I want your truth. I want to define myself by my failures. But then we like start the hustle of trying to find success, find our worth in our success. And that's not where he wants us either, because it's like being on a flipping roller coaster, right? Because you can feel successful 1 hour and like a failure the next. And truly finding your grounding in Jesus, who gives you your worth, it doesn't change. You have worth every day, all day. And I love the slow and steady. That's awesome. Hey, I know we're going to come to a close here pretty quick, but I would love to hear, in the work you do, a huge part of what you say you do is empower women to be set free from the lies they believe about healing, weight loss, and their body. Tell us, if you can, if you want to, like a story or two about some women who you've seen be set free from lies and what that has looked like and how that's played out in a beautiful way.
I think one of the biggest, I mean, just the biggest lie is that God is the punisher. I've really had to walk through this in my own life, thinking that God was just giving me all the sickness so he could teach me a lesson. And when we think that God is the giver of sickness and all these things, it's really hard to experience healing, because why would you go to the healer if he was also giving you the sickness? And so it was this confusion for me. And I just stayed sick for a long time because I was like, okay, I got to find the purpose first. You know, like it was this lie that I kept believing over and over. And then when women get in my group, they just believe that God is punishing them. God doesn't love them. Just to go an extreme, this one girl was just devastated because these people kept telling her that her grandpa had died because God was punishing him for his sins. And it broke my heart because that is so far from the truth. But when we believe like lies like that, we begin to character God a certain way, not based on the truth. And one more example is that my husband and I were sitting under a church and we were in a church service. And the pastor had said from the pulpit after one of the members of the congregation had just experienced a stroke, had said to everybody that this person was experiencing a stroke because he wasn't following God's will for his life. And that is stuff like that that fires me up, because we at any given moment could easily let our flesh take over and go the wrong path. Not on purpose, not intentionally. And so to say that God is giving people strokes because they're not following God's will or doing those things is a very dangerous path. And so that is a couple of reasons why I have gotten so passionate about knowing the truth for myself and before other opinions come in, because we all have an opinion of scripture, right? It's just the reality. And knowing what it says to me first and in context and looking at trusted sources that I believe, and what does that mean to me so I can help other women be set free from that or other people? Because there's a lot of things that are being said out there that are really Old Testament or law given that Jesus took care of.
Yeah, I love that you are allowing God to use you as a voice to set people free. That's a beautiful thing. And at the same time, he's setting you free. What a beautiful story. Hey, how can people connect with you and the work that you do?
You can always come hang out with me on my podcast, What's the Truth, where I address a lie every week and bring truth to it. Or you can come hang out with me on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle. I'm pretty much anywhere on social media at Jessica Hoddle.
But not comparing, only lifting other women up, right? Right.
Yes.
I love that. You guys check out Jessica's podcast. Find her online. And Jessica, thank you so much for hanging out. I loved this conversation and I'm excited for people to connect with what you're doing.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, totally. You guys keep colliding and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. To keep up with us, you can find us on Instagram at we.collide, on Facebook as at We Collide Women, and you can also visit our website at wecollide.net to find our blog, resources, event information, and more. One last thing. If you enjoyed this episode, would you take a few seconds and leave us a review? It seems like such a small act, but reviews help us to keep producing this content and help other women find it too. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode and letting us walk with you as you seek and collide with Jesus.